get started. So the title of the shiur went out today, and the title was "It's Never Too Early to Start Preparing for Hanukkah." So Nathan Farber came up to me in yeshiva. He said, "You have no idea what you're talking about tonight, do you?" That was the generic title. I said, "Well, actually, normally I have no idea what I'm talking about. Tonight I actually did know what I was going to talk about. I just didn't think it would be an enticing enough title to get anyone to come on a rainy night." I was intrigued about starting Hanukkah topics, and I have this sefer, Badei Moshe. It's two volumes of Tshuvas and Birurei Halacha. That's what it says on the side, Tshuvas and Birurei Halacha. And I was, you know, looking through it to see if there are any good 10-minute Halacha type topics that I could use. And he has a chapter on getting Hana'a from Maisa Nisim, getting Hana'a from miracles. So not exactly an everyday topic that comes up, but Hanukkah time is a time that people tend to talk about miracles. So I thought it would be an interesting topic. It happens to be, in his piece on this topic, all he does is he collects like 10 different Gemaras and tries to apply the same answer. 10 different Gemaras that seem to go against the supposed rule that it's usher to get Hana'a from Maisa Nisim, and show where people did get Hana'a from Maisa Nisim, and we speak about it in a very positive light. And he tries to go back to the same five or six basic answers, and, you know, just repeats it each time with each Gemara. You know, answers numbers 3, 4, 5, and 6 still work here. Answers 1, 2, 4, and 5 work here. As you know, that kind of thing. But then I found a little bit more on the topic in terms of a little bit of lumdus, a little bit of analysis later on. So let's take a look at what is the topic? Hana'a from Maisa Nisim, getting any sort of benefit, any sort of pleasure from miracles. There is an assumption that the Achronim have that there is some sort of iser to get pleasure or benefit from miracles. I couldn't track down where this comes from in Chazal. It seems that everyone just asks the question, "Halo Yadua, that it's also the Hanos Mimais Anisim." But why is it Yadua? Where does it come from? So Rashi mentions it explicitly in his commentary on Tainus Chavdal Amar Aleph, in source number 1 at the bottom of page 2. Ela ke'echad me'ani Yisrael mishum de'mais anisim hu, v'asa la'adam le'hanos mimais anisim. Rashi says it's us to get enough from Maisa Nisim. Rashi quotes as his source a Gemara earlier in Tainus and Daf Chaf Amud Beis v'emosel neis menachlam zechiyosav, that if a person has a neis that happens for him, it's going to cost him zechiyos. His zechiyos are going to be subtracted as a result of the neis that he experiences. But that Gemara doesn't say that it's usher. It just says that every great thing that happens in your life is on some level a reward. And if it's supernaturally great, that's a pretty big reward. And therefore, some of your zechuyos are being utilized to allow that nes to occur. But it doesn't say that it's usher to do that. It doesn't say in the Gemara that it's usher to do that. Rashi makes that assertion, that usher adam lanos maisa nisim. So at the very least, all of the questions we're going to be dealing with are at least a kasha on Rashi. Now, I did not spend a great deal of time putting together this packet and doing all the research that should have been done. So it could be that there are countless Ma'amari Chazal that say, and I'm just unaware of them. So certainly if anyone is aware of Ma'amari Chazal that say this explicitly, and there might even be in this packet with my cutting and pasting, I might even, but please certainly let me know about it. But as far as I was able to find immediately, it was just from Rashi. Now the reason for the Isser, Rashi is pretty clear, because Menachlom Zuchiyosav, it's going to subtract from one's Zuchiyos. In this Sefer, Badei Moshe, he quotes from a Chidush Arim, who suggests that it's also a violation of Me'ilah. That we know the Gemara Maseches Brachos tells us, it darshens the pasuk Shemayim Shemayim LaHashem VaAretz Nasan LeVnei Adam, that it's a stira, because on the one hand the Torah tells us VaAretz Nasan LeVnei Adam, on the other hand that La Hashem Haaretz Umlawa, that Hashem had the entire earth and everything in it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So which is it? Is it Haaretz Nasan LeVnei Adam, or is it La Hashem Haaretz Umlawa? So the Gemara says Kan Kodem Bracha, Kan Liacha Bracha. That whether the things in this world are here to benefit from is the difference between before the bracha and after the bracha. Before a person makes a bracha, it's asul hanos mil mazeh bli bracha. Once you say the bracha, so then you're allowed to get enough from olam hazeh. And therefore, eating food, for example, without a bracha, or even smelling something fragrant without saying a birchas hareach, is on some level a violation of me'ilah. It's on some level considered to be a violation of me'ilah. So that being the case, he suggests that it's the stira was in va'aretz nasan levnei adam and Lashem ha'aretz umloa. But when it comes to Shemayim, Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem, that there was no stira, and that there's no before bracha after bracha. Shemayim Shemayim Lashem, period. So maybe one could argue that whatever happens as a result of a Maisa Neis would fit in the category of Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem, not in the category of Aretz Nasan Levnei Adam, and therefore it's not just a matter of Menachlam Ezech Yosef, it's a violation of Me'ila on some level. Of course, one could argue fairly easily that Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem is that once a nace occurs and there is something here on earth, even though it may be a result of a nace, it is now Va'aretz Nasan Levnei Adam. Now it is here, now it's on earth, and now it's something that we're allowed to get Hanah from. But be that as it may, that might be an additional reason for the Isser to get Hanah from Eis HaNisim. Now, when I was just started thinking about the topic of the Isser to get Hanah from Eis HaNisim, it's somewhat perplexing, because what's the point of a nace if not to get Hanah from Eis HaNisim? Meaning, why does it come to... Should we have stood at Kriyas Yamsuf and said, we're not going to go in? You know, that's, I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a nace, impressive, but we're not allowed to get Hanah from Eis HaNisim. So clearly the point of Kriyas Yamsuf was that we were supposed to take advantage, as we did, and that's why it's something that we celebrate all the time, and the Efsan Makos and everything else. These are Nisim that we spend time celebrating how we enjoyed and benefited from Nisim, Chanukah. My Chanukah, the Gemara tells a miraculous story of Pach Shemen. And there's an equally miraculous story, if not more miraculous story on certain levels, that we talk about in the Ala Nisim, about the Melchama, Giborim Biad Chalashim, Rabim Biad Ma'atim, Tmeim Biad, all those, that's a miraculous thing also. So yet we're allowed to celebrate the miracle and not say, ah, but it cost us a lot of zechuyos. And in some way with a krechts that a miracle had to happen. So it's a little bit difficult to understand what the Isser would be. We certainly are going to have to limit the Isser in some way. We also have to define what exactly a nace means. You know, the word nace can mean, you know, you call a lot of things a miracle. There was a movie about the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team, Miracle on Ice, right? So what was that, a miracle? For those who saw it, it felt like a miracle, but, you know, it wasn't keneged hateva. There was nothing, it was just that the emotions were so high and the expectations were so different and a team coming together. Okay, so it makes for a great Hollywood, but is it a miracle? Sometimes if something is a one in a million. A person was desperate for money. He bought one lottery ticket. People are buying thousands. He bought one lottery and he won the lottery. A miracle? He'll call it a miracle in his own life, but it's not really a miracle. It all went al pi hateva. Then there are things that go completely against the teva. There are things that just are, you know, the sermakos, you have kriyas yamsuf, that's completely keneged hateva. A little bit of shemen, lighting for a lot of for 8 days, that's keneged hateva. Then there may even be a third level. Rav Blachman pointed out, I just saw Rav Mendel Blachman today in yeshiva, so I was just thinking about last time he was here. He gave a shiur for high school boys in my house, and he pointed out that to his mind, the greatest miracle that ever occurred in the history of humanity is, and like you expect to say, Kriyas Yamsuf, he said, Makom Aron Eino Min Amida. Greatest miracle in the history of humanity. What's Makom Aron Eino Min Amida? In the Kodesh HaKadosh, and the Aron Kodesh was there. If you measure from this side of the Aron to the wall and from that side of the Aron to the wall, the total would be the same as measuring from one wall all the way to the other wall. So the Aron didn't take up space. Why is that the greatest miracle ever? Because he said, I can picture in my mind water turning to blood. I can see that. I can see it happening. I don't know how it happens. I mean, but I could see that I know what that looks like. I know, you know, we have the mental capacity to envision it. I could envision a Kriyas Yamsuf. I can't really envision Makom Aron Eino Min Amida. What was it? Was the room shorter on one side? Was it not short? It's not within our capacity. So that may be even a higher level of miracle. He was talking about the difference between an os and a mofes. Okay, different, but there are different levels of miracles. So what does it mean in terms of us, in terms of this idea that Rashi says that one is not allowed to get hana'a from a miracle? Also, we're going to have to, let's assume for a moment, let's take a classic case where there would be an issue of Hana'a from a miracle. You know, the Achronim all ask the questions. I'm trying to think of a good one. Let's take source number three. There's just so many Gemaras that talk about miracles. So the Gemara tells us about Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa in source number three, Tainus Daf Chafei. It's like a whole daf about Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Amazing stories. Amrle de Bitu. So his wife said, Aremus Nezel and Star Kalehai. How long are we going to have to suffer? Amrle Mainav. So he said, what do you want me to do about it? You know, I'm doing my best. You should daven that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should provide you with something. He davened the famous story. A hand comes down from heaven and hands him one leg of a golden table. So Chaz b'Chalma Sidi Tzadiki Dachli Aptur de Dahava de Islay Tlaskari V'Iu Aptur de Treikari. He saw in a dream all the other Tzadikim were in Gan Eden. They were enjoying. Were in Olam Haba, and they were enjoying sitting at a table that had three legs, a golden table with three legs, and he only had two legs. So Amar La Nichalach Demechal Achli Kuli Alma Abtur Demishalim Vanan Abtur Demichzar Atur Demishlam Vanan Abtur Demichzar. So he says to his wife, "Is this going to be okay with you? Is this Beseder? You think it's going to be okay up in Shemayim when we're sitting with a table that has only two legs, and other people have a table that has only three legs?" Which is such a, it always fascinated me that point. Meaning, well, maybe she would say, "You know what? I've been mistapik b'muat down here, so I'll be mistapik b'muat." Up there, you know, it seems like probably better off than a lot of people if you're on a table with two legs. But the level of what there is to be had in Olam Haba is not the kind of thing. That's what the Bali Musar point out. A person always says, "You know, I'm satisfied with my level of religious observance. You know, I don't need more." Everything else in their life, they need more. They need a promotion at work. They need more money, more this, more car, more everything. We're religious observance. I'm okay. And the proper Ashkaf is the exact opposite. We can be mistapik b'muat with Dvarim Gashmiim, but we can't. Are we really going to be okay in the Olam HaEmes, seeing how much more we could have had and just passing that up? And she says, "You're right, we can't." Amrlei Meinavid. So she said to him, "Well, what can we do? We'll daven that it should be taken away from us." And in fact, he davened and it was taken back up to Shemayim. And the Gemara says, "Gadol hayenes achron yosem min arishon." The Gemiri de Mevyavi mishkal lo shakli. It's more common for something to be given min Shemayim than for something to be taken back l'Shemayim. So what if he would have used this golden leg? Apparently, the moral of the story is you're not supposed to. He should not have used it, and it was the right thing. He made the right decision to give it back. That using that, and this is a clear menachal nobel zuchiyosav, meaning the Gemara is very clear about what the problem was. It's going to cost him zuchiyos in the Olam HaEmes. So it's clearly for that reason that we tell that he's applauded for with this story for giving it back. What if he would have used that golden leg? So mistama, that's a violation of being nene from a nais. What if he would have done the following? What if he would have taken the golden leg and he would have sold it to somebody? And he wasn't going to use the golden leg, he was just going to use the money that he got for the golden leg. Is it, what exactly is the isser? Is there like an isser cheftza that you're not allowed to get direct hana? Or is it any sort of, if your life is better because of a miracle, so that regardless of whether there's a chafza you can point to or no chafza you can point to, then you are benefiting from the miracle. It may depend on the two reasons. If you say like Rashi, Menachlam Zuchiyosav, I don't care if there's a chafza, no chafza, Kadosh Baruch Hu did a miracle for you, that takes up some zuchiyos, and you end up losing from that. If the vort, though, is like that Chidush Arim, that it's Me'ila, that you're being nene from something that's nogea, Shemayim, Shemayim LaHashem, so then maybe it has to be a thing, like eating food before a bracha is me'ila. Me'ila is when there's something, when there's a thing that you're benefiting from. So maybe the example of selling it might be a bad example because he's the act of selling it might have been the violation of me'ila. But I found a similar discussion in one of these parsha sheets that they give out in Israel, and I discovered recently, if you want to Google search a topic, do it in Hebrew. You'll find much, much better things. So I Google searched Hana Mimaisa Nisim, and in Hebrew it turned up a whole shiur from Rav Asher Weiss that I didn't know he had, and it turned up this Torah pamphlet, some weekly Torah pamphlet from Beitar Elite, I forgot to write down the name of the rabbi who wrote this article, but he quotes the Medrash Tanchuma. This is in source number 22. We're working a little backwards here. He quotes the Medrash Tanchuma, Parshas Ve'era. Amar Rabbi Avin, mi makas hadam heshiru Yisrael. The Jewish people got rich off of makas dam. Ketzad, this is also a well-known medrash. Hamitzvi Yisrael b'bayis echad v'agigis malaya mayim. The Jew and the Mitzvah are in the same house, and they have a whole thing of water, full of water, a whole container full of water. The Mitzvah goes to fill this pitcher from it, and it comes out full of blood. And the Jew is drinking water. So the Jews were able to sell the water to the Mitzvah, and they got rich off of that. So the Mefarshim ask, I don't know who. Everybody knows, and that's the way all the Achronim always ask the Kasha, everybody knows that it's usher to be Nana from Eis HaNisim, because it's Rashi, I assume. But everybody, so how are they allowed to get this Hana? So it's interesting. Rav Asher Weiss, in his piece, points out that there's an Eben Ezra. If you look, it's actually in the next source, in the middle of page 6. The Eben Ezra in Parag Zayin Pasuk Chav Dalid, Rabbi Mom, this is toward the end of the second paragraph there in Rav Asher Weiss's piece. Rabim Omrim ki amayim hayu biyada mitzri adomim kedam v'nislabnu biyada yisraeli. That it was blood in the hand of the mitzri and it became water when a Jew took it. Meaning that there's a question whether the water was water and it's just when the mitzri picked it up it became dam, or was all the water dam, and then when a Jew took it back, it was water. L'may nafkamina. So says Rav Asher, this might be the nafkamina. If there's nisim to be nana from Eis HaNisim, so then if you accept Rashi's premise that there's nisim to be nana from Eis HaNisim, and you assume that it applies to the makos also, that they're not allowed to be nana from Eis HaNisim, so then you want to set it up in such a way, you want to understand the story in such a way, where there was no nais for a Jew to have water. A Jew had water because he took water. When the mitzri took it, it turned to dam, unless he bought it from the Jew. So, but if you understand the other way, that no, everything became dam, and when a Jew took it, it turned to water. So then it was a nace that the dam was nafach l'mayim. So that's what he suggests from the Eben Ezra. Now this guy from Beit Arilita, yeah, I apologize, I don't know his name, I forgot to write it down. By Nira Levar B'zeh, he suggests a little different. De'ein dinis u'lehalos meis nisim ba'ofen shein kan cheftza shal nes. That if there's no cheftza shal nes, then there's no Isser to be Nana and Meis HaNisim. So I like the idea, I don't love the application. So he's saying, and by Dam, there's no Cheftza Shal Neis. What do you call the Dam? He says, no. V'imkein yesh b'makas Dam, ein amayim nevchul Cheftza Shal Dam, el lemare Dam, uletam Dam. It didn't turn to blood, it just looked and tasted like blood. But it didn't turn to blood. What does that mean? I don't even know. Meaning, isn't that what turning to blood means? So the idea, though, cheftza versus a non-cheftza, I understand. Meaning, that would explain how we could have been nana from all the other makos. There was no direct hana from any cheftza, even though it was putting down our enemies and it was allowing for our lives to become much, much easier, because we weren't actually using any cheftza shel neis. So he suggests, and this is the part that I thought was fantastic. He said, "V'yisora dvar mizeh diyesh lach harim yisur leharos meis anisim avi yisur gavra v'yisur cheftza." Take this, very agadic topic, and he says, "Let's infuse a little lumdus over here. Is this an isur? Let's assume this isur exists, like Rashi. Is it an isur gavra or is it an isur cheftza? The efshad avi din bechefetz mitzad ma'aloso shalol leharos menu sounds a lot like meila." That this cheftza is so chashuv, it's so important, you can't get hanah from it. V'imkein ein ze inyan shel revach mamon, ela din b'chefetz atzmo lo lehanos. Odil madu din b'gavra, da'anu lo ru'uyim lehanos m'mais anisim. That we're not on a madrego where we can be so presumptuous as to enjoy m'mais anisim. We're not on a level to enjoy m'mais anisim. V'kol revach mamon abame anis, ein roi lehanos m'isa. And any Rav Achmamah that comes from an ace, we have no business getting an af from. So he says, the my nafkamina. He says, I'll give you three nafkaminas. Nafkamina number one, he says, im yol gabi yisr zed din halachas hanal liyam ha-melech. Erech shivu shal adavar anisi. Let's say you take the value of the miraculous item that you have, not the item itself, but its value, and you chuck it into the Yam HaMelech. We have such a concept sometimes, where Avodazar Memtes, he quotes the Mar Mekom, Pesach L'Chav Zayin, Yolich HaNa'al Yam HaMelech. Take the value, so that way you're not benefiting from it, because you're taking the value of whatever it is, throw it into the Yam HaMelech, and then you could enjoy whatever you have left, because you didn't actually benefit. Can you do that with Meis HaNisim? You have something with Meis HaNisim, you assess that Nes is worth approximately $1,000, take $1,000, chuck it into the Yam HaMelech. So if the Vard is that we're not chashuv enough to benefit from the Nes, so then that should work. You're not chashuv enough to benefit from the Nes, so you're not benefiting in the end of the day. Your bottom line isn't changing at all. But if it's that the Chevtz is infused with such Kedusha that you can't use it, throwing $1,000 into the Yam HaMelech still doesn't help. I still shouldn't use the Shemen Shel Nes or whatever it is, Shel Nes, because it's still Chevtz Shel Kedusha. Another Nafkamina he suggests, Nafkamina Ode, Imuter Limkar HaChevetz Shabbat B'Nes V'Lehanos Midamav. Can you sell it and get hana'ah from the money? This one I wasn't so sure about, because I would think it would be asr on either side. Meaning, certainly you're getting personal hana'ah from it, but also if it's a chefza shel kedusha, so you're not allowed to go sell it. I would think that would be asr to sell it as well. He tries to make a nafkamina out of it. Va'od nafkamina, he suggests a third nafkamina, im shayich lomer kan din mitzvos lav lehanos nitnu. Also an interesting one, because now, you know, when you talk about Ner Chanukah, did we get Hana'ah from the Shemen? Well, we were able to do the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neros in the Beis HaMikdash. Is that called Hana'ah? Generally speaking, we have a klal mitzvah slav lehanos nitnu, which does not mean that one is not supposed to enjoy mitzvos. It means that when the technical definition of Hana'ah is the joy that one gets, the pleasure that one gets from a mitzvah, does not fit the technical definition of Hana'ah for the sake of a neder. A person takes a neder, I will not get Hana'ah from this shofar. Well, shofar is maybe not the best example, but a person takes a neder, I'm not going to get Hana'ah from this item. He's allowed to do a mitzvah with that item. I'm not going to get Hana'ah from the shemen. He's allowed to use the shemen for a mitzvah. So would you say that by my senisim? Let's say he doesn't have dalad minim. He lives in some place in Russia, deep in Russia. You know, you read about Ramesha when he early in his life, when he was in Luban, that he had to use the same lulav for 7 years in a row because there was no way that he was going to be able to find a lulav, and he made a bracha on it. That was the chiddush that he yelled it was still kosher 7 years later. I guess it was like frozen. but he used the same. So let's say there's no way he's going to have dalaminim, or like that esrog that Shani Butler's grandfather told us about. Did I tell this story? It's an unbelievable maysa. He's an alter Hungarian yid, and he said that Shai Shechter told me that he told it to him, and then he told it to me also, that the Gemara talks about a black esrog. So he said, you've never seen a black esrog. I've seen a black esrog, and it was the most mahurudik esrog I've ever seen in my entire life. So he said, what was it? He said, where we lived, there were no esrogim to be had, and I forgot which Rebbe he said it was. They found out about one esrog that someone had, and one of the rebbes hired a non-Jewish wagon driver to bring it from town to town to have it passed around in the shuls only for boys over bar mitzvah. They weren't going to let anyone else touch it. He said by the time it came to my town, it had been through so many cities already, and every hand that touched it, it was a black esrog. And he said it was the most beautiful esrog in the world. So imagine these kinds of we take so many things for granted. These kinds of circumstances, you have nothing, you don't have dalad minim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws you some from heaven. Dalad minim, come down min hashamayim. Are you allowed to do a mitzvah with it? So he says, "Dim havi din bechefza. If it's din in the chefza, im ken yeshom the mitzvah sarei lo nena mechefza. Well, mitzvah sav lehanos nitnu. But if it's a din in the gavra that you have to be misrachik menanei, so it could be that even using it for a mitzvah is that it's beneath the kedusha of that item for us to not of that item, but it's we shouldn't." Be using something from a nace because that we're not on a madrega to be able to use something from a nace. So that's some of the lumdus that he suggests. Now, Rav Asher just points out that the point that I really made at the beginning, which is that it's very hard to formulate a rule that no one's ever allowed to get benefit from a nes, because the very purpose of a nes is for us to utilize that nes to get better. Otherwise, why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing it? So it's true. The word nes also means a banner. It's a way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu showing that he's running the world. That's an element of it. But like we said before, there's no way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's expectation is that we were going to stand there at the foot of the Amsuf and say, wow, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then not walk through. I mean, clearly many, many nisim are there to get benefit from. So Rav Asher Weiss suggests, again, toward the bottom of page 6, last two paragraphs, says, L'chor nira pashut, that kasher nira balil dekol tachlis hanes l'shem hanav v'to'elis hi vade mutu lehanas menu. That when it's obvious that the nes is there for us to benefit from, then of course you're allowed to benefit from it. If that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it, would there be a havmini and I'll eat the man because of ma'isanisim? So now he starts getting into other categories. He says, you know, like the Gemara talks about the guy who was nursing his son. What, was he not supposed to get hana from the nes? Well, some of the Acharim suggest maybe not. If you look at that Gemara, one of the Gemara said, it's machlokas amarayim, about what our attitude is toward the fellow who had no one to nurse his child, and he started to lactate and be able to nurse his own child. So one attitude was, wow, that's amazing. The other attitude was, how terrible. How terrible that a nes had to occur. And it's Menachem Yosef. What Rav Asher is saying is not that it wasn't terrible. That ain't a chinami, it's machlokas amarayim. But was he not supposed to use it? Of course he was supposed. It may be terrible, but the zechiyos are gone anyway. So what, he's not supposed to use it now? He's not supposed to feed the child? Of course he's supposed to use it. The Gambe Makastami suggests, Va'od near a pashut in the next paragraph, the Einza El Benes Prati Shana Asalo. He says, I think this is also only true of a nes that was done specifically for an individual. Aval Benisa Yitzias Mitzrayim Veser Makos Shaba'u Lahaflus Ben Yisrael La'amin. But a nes that was meant to distinguish us from the Amin, Lahashbil is Paro Va'amu Mitzrayim Ul Roman Karen Yisrael Kol Ki Agavna Adraba. Any such nes that's supposed to elevate Klal Yisrael and put down our enemies, to the contrary, Zer Rotzon Hashem, Shebnei Yisrael, Yashiru, Mimapolis Mitzrayim, that of course we're supposed to benefit from that. Va'od de'etzim ha-metziyus shamayim le'ol nefchul adam b'yad ha-mitzim v'rak kishkanu b'nei Yisrael nishru mayim hochicha shezer Rotzon Hashem. There he goes again with Rotzon Hashem. He says that if to read the tea leaves of the Rotzon Hashem, it's not that hard if you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's not allowing them to have any water unless they pay us for it. So obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to get paid for it. Otherwise he wouldn't have made it in such a way where the only way they could have water is by paying us for it. So it's obviously a Ratzon Hashem. So he said, he says, plus, I don't think there's an Isser. I think it's a Midas Chasidus. Midas Chasidus not to get Hana from Maisa Nisim. Koloshen Rashi, Diyesh L'srachik mi Maisa Nisim. Amnon Barashi Shom Chavdal Anolf, he said, Da'os V'damas Maisa Nisim V'zeh Chiddush. He says, one Rashi just says, Yesh L'srachik. Another Rashi, the Rashi we started with, says, Aser. The one that's Aser is a Chiddush. The one that's Yesh L'srachik is the Pashtus. That it's a Midas Chasidus. Nah, it doesn't really answer, you know, that Rashi that says Aser. But that's his suggestion. So just keeping track of what he suggested. Anytime it's obvious that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to get Hana from it, anytime that that it's to distinguish Klal Yisrael from everybody else, and it's only Midas Chasidus. Those are the three answers. Now, given that, let's go through some Gemaras and see if that solves the various Gemaras where it seems that people are heralded as heroes and as really wonderful people for being able to benefit from Maisa Nisim. So first we might as well just see that Gemara that we already mentioned on the bottom of page 10, source number 5, the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis. Tanra about Maisa Be'achas Shemaisa Ishto V'Nicha Ben Linak. His wife died and there was a baby that needed to be nursed. V'lohoy lo schar menika litein, he couldn't afford it. V'nasa lo neis v'niftachu lo dadin k'shnei dadi isha v'heinik es b'no. Amar Rav Yosef, bo re kama gadol adam zeh, shenas lo neis kazeh. So Rav Yosef says, amazing. What a great guy this guy must be that such a neis happened. Amar lo abaye adrab, kama gru adam zeh, shenas lo neis kazeh. No, how horrible that Kodesh Baruch had to be mishana say the bereshis for him. And the way it's normally understood is that Abaye was bothered by Menachem and Chiyosav. That if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mishana Seyed Bereishis, it's costing him a lot. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking to pay him in this world rather than in the next world, which is never a good sign. That's one of the answers to Tzadik V'Ralo Rasha V'Tovlo. Most of the time we assume the answer. The Gemara in Brachos says that Moshe Rabbeinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why is it Tzadik V'Ralo Rasha V'Tovlo? It's not really what he asks. He asks, why is it sometimes Tzadik V'Ralo, sometimes Tzadik V'Tovlo? Sometimes Rasha V'Ralo, sometimes Rasha V'Tovlo. It would have been easier to answer if it was just Tzadik V'Ralo, Rasha V'Tovlo. That, whatever, only the good die young or whatever. That it's, that the good people suffer. Because that you could just very simply say, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the reward for them isn't here. The reward for them is somewhere else, whereas a Rasha, but it seems so arbitrary. Some tzaddikim do enjoy great reward in this world. There are tzaddikim that have arichus yamim and health and whatever, and there are tzaddikim that die at a very young age. I was just looking at the contrast just this week. I just bought the book about Rav Moshe Twersky, Zichrono Livracha. So a tzaddik dies in the prime of his life like that. A tzaddik beyond imagination, the kind of tzidkus. I mean, beyond imagination, the way the person conducted his life. Right, and then you see wonderful tzaddikim who live into their 90s with a sound mind, who are able to still share divrei Torah. It seems arbitrary. You don't know. So that was the kasha that he really asked. One of the terutzim is you can't know. Risim esacharai panai lo yiro. You're not going to see my face. But one of the answers is HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes gives the rush a reward in this world so that it'll push them away in the next world. And sometimes the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives tzaddikim their yisurin in this world, so that they'll have what to look forward to in the next world. The idea that Rav Yosef is saying, that Abaye is saying, kama gerua, that probably the Kodesh Baruch Hu is pushing him away. He's giving him his schar in this world, he's not going to have it in the next world. It's interesting, Rav Yosef might agree. Rav Yosef is saying, kama gadol adam zeh, that he had enough zuchuyos to cash in for this. Meaning it's a reflection of the godless. It may not be a great reflection of how Kodesh Baruch Hu is dealing with that godless, but it's a reflection of the godless. Rabbi Balzim thought that this connects very much to a Gemara in Kiddushin Chavtesam and Beis. At least he thought it's Abayi L'shitasa. The Gemara in Kiddushin Chavtesam and Beis tells us, and at the very top, page 4, Tana Rabban, hu l'lmod b'no l'lmod hu kodim l'bno. That if you have a choice, you could either pay tuition for you to go to yeshiva or for your son, so you come before your son. Rabbi Yehuda Amar in Bino Zarzu Mulach V'Talmudu Meskayim Biyado Bino Kodmo. It's not such a popular idea nowadays, but it's something that's very well founded in Chazal, that if there's someone that has more promise in learning, it's not only about, that he wants to learn. Someone who shows more promise in learning is worth a greater investment than someone who shows less promise in learning. Because ultimately, it's not only about creating the most amount of people that will be learning Torah, that's obviously wonderful, but it's also about the Kavanah Torah of enhancing the Torah, of bringing amazing Chidushe Torah and being able to give over Torah to many people. So someone shows, so you say, you have a choice, you or your son, who's better in learning? Who shows more promise? That's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara tells a story. His father sent him to Abaye's Beis Medrash. He wasn't so strong in learning. So the father learned with the son, he tested him, gave him bechina, you don't know anything, I'm going to go and study you, I'm stronger in learning. Abaye heard that Rav Acha bar Yaakov was coming, and he knew Rav Acha bar Yaakov was a big tzaddik and a big talmud chacham, and there was a mazik, there was some sort of spiritual force that was causing all sorts of destruction in Abaye's Beis Medrash. Normally, to ward off a mazik, all you need to do is take care of two things. First of all, make sure it's daytime and not nighttime, because the mazikin are out at night, psachim daf beis, and also you want to go with two people, not with one person, because if you're left all alone, so then the mazikim have more more power. But this one was so powerful, two people during the daytime still couldn't stand the chance. So Abaye instructed everyone, no one give Rav Acha bar Yaakov anywhere to stay. And then he's going to have no choice but to sleep in the Beis Medrash. So he's going to be alone at night in the Beis Medrash against a mazik that's been killing two people a day. Efshar de Misrach Hashnisa. Maybe a miracle will happen. So Al Basba Hubei Rabbani went to sleep there. In Milei Kitanina de Shibur Shvase. It was like this scorpion that had seven heads. Kol Kriya de Kar Nasa Chad Reshe. So he started to daven. Every time he bowed, another head got knocked off. Amalu Lemachar Ilo Esrach Hashnisa Sekintin. So he said, you know, that really wasn't a nice practical joke to play on me. If it weren't for a miracle, I could have been in danger. So that's the story. That's how it ends. So the Marsha on the spot of there in Kiddushin says, how could Abaye do this? It doesn't answer what Abaye was doing. And even if a nes happens, it's going to be Menachem Zuchiyosav. It's going to cost him his Zuchiyos. And that's not nice to do either, to make it cost him his Zuchiyos. So says the Marsha, says Marsha, if he would have davened, then the mazik would have gone away. That's not a nes. What he was worried about, the only thing that he had to be worried about was maybe a nes would happen. What does that mean? Maybe a nes. He doesn't need a nes. He's going to daven. He was sure it was going to happen. Says Marsha, let's say HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have seen the encounter and immediately killed the mazik before Abaye davens. That would have been a nes. It's a remarkable insight of the Marsha. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers tefillos, it's not a nes. That doesn't qualify as a nes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answering tefillos. It's a nes if something happens without a tefillah. That's a nes. So that would have been Menachem Yitzchiyosav. That would have been something that cost Abaye. The risk of being Menachem Yitzchiyosav was a risk Abaye was willing to take in order to get out of, in order to get away from this masik, because it was only a shema, it was only a maybe. So that's what he's saying. Well, you know, if not for a nes, a kintin, then I would have been in danger. But really, it wasn't a nes because he was davening. Says the Marsha, he was just trying not to take credit for himself. But it wasn't really a nes. So they quote that first Gemara as a story of getting hana from Maisa Nisim, where you see that one is allowed to get hana. So according to Rav Asher Weiss, that's not a problem at all, because it was never more obvious in the history of miracles, probably, that you're supposed to get hana from the Maisa Nisim than the guy who had no way to feed his infant, and then he started to lactate. It was obvious that the nes was there for that reason. But what we see from the Marsha is another possible answer to a lot of the cases of Maisa Nisim. When you take the golden leg of the table, right, it's now not a nes, according to the Marsha, because he davened for it. So if he davened for it, so maybe it doesn't qualify as a nes, even though the Gemara calls it a nes, but maybe not a nes in this regard, in the regard that we'd call it that it's Menachem Yitzchiyosav, although the Gemara seemed explicit that it's Menachem Yitzchiyosav, so I'm not sure how the Marsha deals with that. Yeah, I don't know how he would deal with that. Let's take a look at another Gemara. There are so many... there's so many to look at, but let's take a look at the famous one, Tainus Daf Chaf Hei Amud Aleph. Chad Bei Shimshi, again, telling the Rabbi Chanina Bar Dosa's story, source number 13. Chad Bei Shimshi Chazi Labarte Davis Atziva. He saw his daughter was very sad. Amr Labiti, Lemay Atzivit, why are you sad? Amr Le Kli Shal Chometz Nischai Lefli B'Kli Shal Shabin Vidlakti Mimenu Or L'Shabbos. That vinegar got mixed up with oil, and I lit the vinegar for the Neiru Shabbos, and now it's Shabbos already. I was Mekabel Shabbos, nothing I could do. I can't put it out and trade it for the oil. As soon as the wick goes down, it's not gonna take. It's not gonna light. Amar Labiti Machbelach Mishar Mele Shemen V'Yidlok Yomer Lechametz V'Yidlok. What difference does it make? The same Hakadosh Baruch Hu that allows Shemen to light will allow Chametz to light. How is that not a violation of being Nana for Maisa Nisim? Meaning, Neiru Shabbos, the point of Neiru Shabbos is, you know, the Chanukah Sugiyah, Shalom Bayis, it's supposed to light up the house, and we benefit from the lighting up of the house. So why isn't that a violation of Maisa Nisim? So, again, if you say this, you saw that when it's obvious that you're supposed to be Nana, so maybe this is a case where you assume that it's obvious that you're supposed to be Nana. I don't know how you know when it's obvious and when it's not obvious, though. But the other suggestion that many of the Achronim work with is that this whole idea that you're not allowed to be nana from a nes goes back to the definition of what a nes is. meaning everything is a nes. You study anatomy, the way the human body works is a nes. You study anything, anything that happens is a nes. So much has to go right in order for us to continue breathing every second. It's all a nes. So there are tzaddikim that see the world that way, that nes and teva are one and the same. And many of the achronim work with this notion, that if nes and ben yoyada, most prominently in the sugyas and tainus over there, that when nes and teva are the same to a person, so then he's allowed to be nana for maisa nesim, because the maisa nes is teva to him. It's just, it's no different. He sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu so clearly in teva that it's ki'ilu, that the nes and teva are the same. Ksav Sofer in Parshas Bereishis has a similar idea, but with a little bit of a different twist. He suggests that a tzaddik gamur has a complete teva is completely meshubad to a tzaddik gamur. So if someone is a tzaddik gamur, the teva is so under his control that he could be mishana the teva, and as such nes therefore becomes teva. Not because of his appreciation per se, but because of his level of tzidkus, that teva becomes that nes becomes like teva to him. Ksav Sofer used that to explain why is it the avos imos were all, it was a, you know, if someone doesn't have a uterus, they should not be able to have a child. So how are the imos able to have children? Nana for maisa nesim. We're built on maisa nesim. Our whole nation is built on maisa nesim. Yeah, because we're built on tzaddikim. We're built on people that were, you know, that we're on a different madrega. Meaning to what? You're going to say that he wasn't on the madrega, right? How can you say
that?
Same person. Yeah, very difficult. He didn't want, because he knew it was going to be Menachem Yitzchak Yosef. So why was the Ner Shabbos not Menachem Yitzchak Yosef? There is also the idea that there's a, meaning that may have been a private matter. Something that's public, there's a, what's Menachem Yitzchak Yosef, is that you're going to lose out Zuchiyos, right? If you have the opportunity to make a tremendous Kiddush Hashem, you're generating Zuchiyos through making a Kiddush Hashem. So it could be that something that's a more public spectacle, so as you're getting enough from the Nes, you're losing, you know, things aren't black and white. There's always, things aren't 100% good and 100% bad. It's not like, you know, the way people see politics or something, you know, everything every Republican said is perfect and everything every Democrat said is off, you know, or something like that. Like, things aren't completely black and white. So there are actions that have some positive and some negative elements. And it could be that the Kiddush Hashem outweighs the Menachem Zuchiyos, the Zuchiyos of the Kiddush Hashem outweighs the fact that you're using up a nace. So it could be, maybe that's the pshat with the golden leg.
He didn't make the decision. He asked his wife, who might not have it, so he asked his daughter. His daughter decided that she wanted to do it, so I'll give it to you. It's not Menachem from his school, it's not from the daughter's school. So my not
did she
my too, right? Why are you sad?
Yeah, he didn't ask her for, he just said, what does it matter to you? It's gonna light anyway.
So that was from him.
It's also not clear that he was Nana. It's just, you know, but you know, I don't know. Pashtus is they were Nana because they used the lights, but he just knew it was gonna happen. Meaning the impression he got is that they were so malumid benisin, or that he was so malumid benisim, that teva and nes didn't mean anything to him. Maybe it depends on the nes. Meaning, maybe that also some of the achronim suggest that when the nes starts with a product, you know, you start with raw material. So such a nes you're allowed to be nana from. But if it's a golden leg that comes out of heaven, you know, that's like a Kodesh Baruch Hu makes a brand new bria. Maybe that's a different kind of nes. That would be more a din in the cheftza versus a din in the you know, enjoying the being on a level to enjoy a nes.
So it's also a catch 22 though, because if the taking the back of the leg was a bigger nes, then he was nana.
Right. Well, that's not nana. He wasn't nana from it. It was just taken back, so he wasn't nana. That's his chiyus went back. But yeah, okay. There's a lot more here. You can take a look at all these gemaras.